Chapter 13. Show me, Professor Forster says, leaning forward in a chair. Above her head, the opening in the observatory dome is now closed, the huge telescope looking up only to see a rectangle of rust. Feeling kind of nervous, I pick up my mobile phone. On the home screen, the golden spiral is still stationary, the phone completely silent. When I try to prove to Dad that I was telling the truth, Buzz kept quiet. I tap my finger against the spiral icon, hoping that the tip of my finger will start glowing with the golden light. Nothing happens. Determined not to give up, I hold the phone in front of my mouth, the same way Captain Kirk uses his communicator in the Star Trek films. Buzz, are you receiving me? I ask, my voice echoing around the deserted observatory. It's me, Jamie Drake. There's no reply. Looking up, I see that Professor Forster's lips are pursed in a smile. She's trying her hardest not to laugh. I feel a sudden surge of anger welling up from deep inside. I'm telling the truth, I snap. There's an alien signal on my phone. I've heard it speaking to me. The astronomer shakes her head. Jamie, even if you've accidentally downloaded an alien transmission from the Hubble Space Telescope, there's no way you'd be able to understand this. We don't know what language an extraterrestrial civilization might use. It certainly wouldn't be English. I try and fight down the frustration that's boiling up inside me. Professor Forster doesn't believe me, just like Dad. Lowering my gaze, I glare at the spiral on the mobile screen. Everything started going weird the moment this appeared. The strange voice buzzing from my phone, that alien picture that appeared on my desk out of nowhere, even those equations that I solved without a second thought. That's when I remember something else. Tapping the apps list, I quickly open up the calculator. It's not just the voice, I explain. When I was doing my math test, I tried to use the calculator app to work out a sum, but instead of giving me the right answer, my phone just started spitting out all these random numbers instead. The list of numbers is still frozen on the calculator screen. But what if they're not random? What if their coordinates showing where the signal was sent from? With a doubtful frown, Professor Forster takes the phone as I thrust it into her hand. But as she looks down at the numbers on the screen, her expression changes to one of disbelief. Am I right? I ask excitedly. Are they coordinates? Is this bus's address from outer space? Professor Forster shakes her head. These aren't coordinates, she says. This is the Fibonacci sequence. The Fibber what? The Fibonacci sequence is a number pattern, where each number in the sequence is the sum of the previous two. Placing the phone on the table between us, Professor Forster points to the topmost line of numbers. 0, 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, 21, 34, 55, 89, 144. 0 plus 1 equals 1. 1 plus 1 equals 2. 1 plus 2 equals 3. 2 plus 3 equals 5. You can see as you add the previous two numbers, this gives you the next number in the sequence. She points further along the line. 55 plus 89 equals 144, and so on, and so on. She looks up at me, her eyes shining with excitement. This isn't some random list of numbers, Jamie. We see the Fibonacci sequence all around us in the universe. The number of petals on a flower follows this pattern, as do the way the branches grow on a tree. Generations of honeybees in a hive, the patterns on a pine cone, even the proportions of the human body match the Fibonacci numbers in strange and fascinating ways. Professor Forster grabs hold of a pen and starts to draw a series of connecting squares on the paper in front of her, each one growing larger than the last. I can even show this pattern visually. If I use the Fibonacci numbers for the dimensions of these squares, then I can then draw a line that joins them together. She uses her pen to trace a line from the centre of the page. As I watch this curving line spiral around, connecting the corners of each square in turn, the picture fits with a click in my mind. This is called the Fibonacci spiral, Professor Forster explains, and this precise form can be found in the shapes of seashells, hurricanes, and even spiral galaxies. As she lifts her pen from the page, the astronomer stares at the spiral she's just drawn. With a flicker of recognition, she starts to reach for my mobile, but I've already snatched up the phone from the table, swiping back from the calculator app to reveal the golden spiral on my screen. My eyes flick between this and Professor Forster's drawing. The two spirals are exactly the same. Do you know what this means? Professor Forster breathes. Many scientists believe that if alien civilizations wanted to communicate with us, they would choose a universal language that we share. Whatever planet we live on, we can all look up the sky and count the stars. 1 plus 1 equals 2. Everywhere. Maths might be the language that aliens use to talk to us. Sending this Fibonacci sequence could be their way of letting us know that the signal has been sent by an intelligent species. You mean you believe me? I ask, unable to tear my eyes away from the golden glow of the Fibonacci spiral on my phone. You really think that Buzz is real? I'm not saying you've spoken to an alien, Professor Forster replies, holding up a cautionary hand. The vast distances between Earth and even the nearest stars outside the solar system mean that any kind of instant communication would be impossible. We can't have a cozy chat with E.T. on the phone if he's 50 light-years away. But if this signal is of extraterrestrial origin, the implications for the human race are profound. This will be the first proof that we are not alone in the universe. So what do we do? I ask, barely able to hide my excitement. Professor Forster holds out a hand for my phone. We bust open your mobile and take a look inside. If this signal has been downloaded onto your SD card, I need to investigate this. I jump in surprise as the phone begins to vibrate in my hand. Glancing down, I expect to see the spiral spinning in time with its insistent buzzing sound. But the golden icon is still frozen, stuck motionless on the screen. Instead, I have a new text message and notification, a painful reminder that aliens are not my only problem. Where are you, Mum? It's time for me to go. Chapter 14. When I get back, Mum's waiting for me at the kitchen table. Where did you disappear to? She asks, the sharp tone in her voice telling me I'm trouble. I've been worried sick. I sent you a text half an hour ago, but you didn't get any reply. What's the point of you having a phone if I can't get a hold of you? I don't say anything, but just push my mobile down deeper into my pocket out of sight. Professor Forster wanted to keep hold of it to find out more about Buzz, but I just did a runner from the observatory before she could take it off me. It's my phone. I walk straight past Mum, heading for the fridge to see if there's anything left to eat. Jamie! Mum says, sharpening the side of my name so it ends with an exclamation mark. I'm talking to you! But you're not, I snap, turning around to face her at last. Not about the things that really matter, like the fact that you and Dad are splitting up. Mum looks shocked, her hand rising to her face, almost like a shield. You heard us talking on the video call, she says, her voice suddenly drained of volume, so I have to strain to catch the words. About the divorce. I nod my head, trying to fight back my tears. Oh, Jamie, Mum says, getting up from the chair and reaching out to give me a hug. I didn't want you to find out this way. Your dad and I wanted to tell you together. I don't want a hug. I just want answers. How does it matter if I found out? I explode. You're still getting divorced. Jamie, don't shout, Mum says, trying to keep her voice calm. Your granddad's upstairs giving Charlie a bath. I don't want you upsetting your sister. I think about my little sister and how she's going to feel when she finds out the truth about Mum and Dad. A horrible thought creeps into my head. What's going to happen to us? I ask, wiping my eyes with the edge of my sleeve. Who are Charlie and me going to live with? Well, these things are all to be properly decided, Mum says, but your dad and I both think it makes sense for you and Charlie to stay here with me at Grandad's. I feel like I've just been punched in the stomach. But Dad's coming home next week, I protest. Where's he going to stay? Your dad's going to have to follow an intensive rehabilitation program to get him used to life back here on Earth, Mum explains. For the first month, he'll be living in special quarters on the Air Force Base. It's just half an hour's drive from here. I think about all the different Air Force bases we've lived on as a family, never staying in one place long enough to make any real friends. Dad's training trips taking him halfway around the world, away for weeks at a time. As I try to make sense of what's happening to us, all I can see inside my head are pictures of Dad saying goodbye. It was my job to keep an eye on the Drake family solar system and make sure that everything kept spinning safely until Dad got home. What did I miss? Your dad still loves you, Jamie, Mum tells me, taking hold of my hands in her own. I can feel her fingers trembling next to mine, her empty words hanging in the air between us. We both do. You know that, don't you? I shake my head, tears stinging my eyes again. I don't care, as I snatch my hands away. I just wanted you to tell me the truth. Slamming the door behind me, I race up the stairs two at a time. I need to get inside my room before I start falling apart.